The basic mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beisai, one candle for all of the Bnei HaBayis every night of Chanukah. However, the Mahadrim in a Mahadrim, the best way of performing the mitzvah, which is, of course, what we all aspire to achieve, is to light the number of candles corresponding to that particular night of Chanukah. However, there's machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel how to go about fulfilling the Mahadrim in a Mahadrim. The opinion of Beis Hillel is that you're Moisef HaHoylech. You start the first night of Chanukah with one candle, and then you add a candle every additional night of Chanukah, culminating with the last night of Chanukah where you light eight candles. The opinion of Beis Shammai, though, is Peiches V'Hoylech, that you start with eight candles the first night and you decrease one candle every night, such that the last night of Chanukah, you're only lighting one candle. And each one brings a source, brings a rationale to support their perspective. Beis Hillel explains that the reason why you should start the first night of Chanukah with one candle and then add a candle every additional day is because Milam Bekodesh Vein Meridin, we always attempt to go up in levels of Kedusha, to increase Kedusha, never to backpedal, never to regress. For example, if a community has to sell a shul, they're supposed to take the money and use it to buy something of a greater level of Kedusha than the shul, but you're supposed to use it to buy a Sefer Torah. Milam Bekodesh Vein Meridin, and so too, in lighting the Chanukah candles, we should start with one candle and increase our commitment, our dedication, our Kedusha, incrementally every day. The opinion of Beis Shammai, though, is Payechis V'Helech. And they explain that this is because of the precedent that we find in the Karbonos that we bring throughout Sukkot. Throughout Sukkot, we bring 70 Purim, 70 cows, 70 bulls, and it would bring 13 the first day of Sukkot, and then they would decrease the number of Purim by one every day of Sukkot. So on the first day, they brought 13, the second day, 12. By the end of Sukkot, on Hashanah Rabbah, they would brought 7. Throughout Sukkot, therefore, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, and 7, is up to 70. That corresponds to the Umos Ha'olam, the nations of the world. And then on Shmini Atzeres, we only brought one part that corresponds to Kadosh Baruch Hu's relationship that's unique to Klal Yisrael. But throughout Sukkot, they brought 70 parim, decreasing every day. And similarly, Beis Shammai, I feel that that should be the blueprint for the lighting the menorah on Chanukah as well. We should start off with 8 and then decrease the number of candles that we light every day by one. However, the problem is that each one of them, of course, subscribes to these two, you know, precedents. Of course, Beis Shammai agreed that Milam Bekodesh Vein Meridin, and Beis Hillel, of course, has to subscribe to, of course, believes that that's the proper order of Karbanos that are brought in the Yontif of Sukkot. So they seem to be talking around each other, above each other, beneath each other, but not speaking to each other. Neither one responds to the argument of the other. It's a strange kind of conversation. That leads Rav Tzadik and the Pri Tzadik, his comments on Chanukah, to suggest that, in fact, of course, they agree with the precedent of each other, but they're really focused on two different, having two different conversations, because they're focused on two different aspects of Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem entails both Sur Meira as well as Asei Toiv. One has to remove harmful influences, right, and to refrain from violating prohibitions. At the same time, one also has to introduce positive influences, Asei Toiv, in the performance of mitzvahs. And in fact, both of these themes, both of these parts of Avodas Hashem are reflected in the nisim that took place on Chanukah, because there's the nis of the Pach HaShemen, where that little flask of oil that was only meant to burn for one day continued to burn for an additional 7. So that's, you know, that's Asei Toiv. It was only supposed to for one day, but yeah, more good happened, more mitzvahs occurred, you know, it continued to burn for an additional 7 days. But there's also the war with the Yavanim, where we were victorious in miraculous fashion. And that, of course, was removing the harmful influences of the Hellenistic, of the, you know, Greek society, their morals, their values, and, you know, stopping the flow of intermarriage within our community. So that was a lot about Sur Meira. That was the Sur Meira. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree which should be the focus of our Avodah on the days of Chanukah. Beis Hillel's view is that what we should focus on Chanukah is the Asei Toiv, in the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, and therefore their belief is that the way you should, you know, fulfill the Mahajim and Mahajim there, Chanukah, is to be Moisef HaHoylech, to start with one candle, and then every day introduce more light, introduce more Asei Toiv, more mitzvahs into the home. The opinion of Beis Shammai, though, is that no, the focus of the way we should perform our Avodah on Chanukah is that of Sur Meira, of removing the harmful influences from the home. So on the first day of Chanukah, there's a lot of harmful influences in the home. So we need 8 days, we need 8 candles to burn out the harmful influences. The next day, the home is a little bit holier, so we only need 7 candles. Everyone agrees, Ma'alim B'Kodesh Ve'im Aridin. The only question is, Kedusha in what way? Kedusha in Asei Toiv or Kedusha in Sur Meira? Beis Hillel believes that Ma'alim B'Kodesh Ve'im Aridin is in the Asei Toiv side of the ledger on base. Shammai believes, no, the Ma'alim B'Kodesh V'Emay Ridin is on the Sur Meirah. So the first night of Hanukkah, our houses, you know, still might be infiltrated by these harmful influences of the secular society around us. So we need 8 candles. The next day, our home is a little bit holier. So it's enough with 7 candles. Again, and the next day, 6 candles and so on and so forth. By the end of Hanukkah, our homes are almost completely pure, that we only need 1 candle to burn out the remaining residual harmful influences that exist. And in that sense, it's similar to the Pari HaChag, that throughout Sukkot, we're surrounded by the Umas HaLam, at least we begin surrounded by all 70 Umas HaLam. As the Yom Tov of Sukkot continues on, we begin to peel away their harmful influences, such that we're left at the last day of Shmini Atzeres, where it's just a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael alone, recognizing that unique bond, that unique relationship that they have, that's divorced from the other Umas HaLam. And that's the paradigm that should serve to set the precedent and to instruct us about how we should go about celebrating the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. So each one is kind of speaking around each other because they're really focused on two different aspects of Avodas Hashem, both Sur Meirah and Aseh Tov, that are both present in Hanukkah. And the question is which one to emphasize and to focus on in going about fulfilling the Mahadran and the Mahadran. And this actually fits their two views or perspectives, actually fit with their personalities or their identities as we know them from elsewhere. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that when two potential Geirim presented themselves to Beis Hillel and Shammai, they wanted to convert, but they had strange requests and conditions. One wanted to convert Amanas, that he be taught the entirety of Torah as he stands on one foot. The other wanted to convert Amanas, that he become the Kohen Gadol. So Hillel, of course, accepted them. He was inclusive, warm, and inviting, and he welcomed them in. And that fits with Hillel's kind of method in general, that Beis Hillel is usually the more lenient of the two. Whenever they argue with Beis Shammai, typically Beis Hillel is usually more lenient. They're more forgiving. They're a little bit more reflective of the Midas HaChesed of kindness. They're more inviting and welcoming, the Ger into the fold. As opposed to Beis Shammai, which seems to reflect, kind of the philosophy of the Aseh Tov, as opposed to Beis Shammai, who rejected both of these Gerim. They, threw them out by Amos HaBinyan. They were more exclusive as opposed to inclusive. They're more limited, they're more restricted in general. Typically, when there's a Machlekes Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai is more Machmir, which seems to represent a little bit more Midas Hadin, as opposed to the Midas HaRachmim, the Midas HaChesed of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is represented by Midas Hadin, which implies, seems to lend oneself not to the Aseh Tov side of the Avodah, but rather to emphasize perhaps more the Sur Meirah. In fact, perhaps that's why there's a common belief amongst the Talmidim of the Ariyah Kodesh. You don't find this anywhere in Chazal, certainly not in the Gemara or the Midrashim, but even in the writings of the Ariyah Kodesh himself, you don't find this notion. But in the Talmidim of the Ariyah Kodesh, starting around the 17th century, this belief that La'asa Lavoi, in the times of Mashiach, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. Even though here in this world now, we're paskin like Beis Hillel typically, then we're going to paskin like Moshe Mashiach, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. This is based on the Medrash in Parshas Bereishis, which tells us, commenting the first post in Parshas Bereishis, Bereishis Baro Elokim, in the beginning, Kadosh Baruch Hu created. Elokim is, of course, represents the Midas Hadin of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because when Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he wanted to create it the Midas Hadin. However, later on in Perek Beis of Parshas Bereishis, the post says, B'yom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz Vishamoyim. On the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu created Hashem Elokim, there the Shem Havayas together, wed with the Shem Elokim, the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu created Eretz V'Shamayim, the land and the heavens. But there the Shem Havaya appears for the first time. And the Medrash comments that Kadosh Baruch Hu initially wanted to create the world by Midas Hadin, but he saw that the world was unable to be sustained. It couldn't exist with only Midas Hadin. And therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu was Meshatef, he partnered it with Midas HaRachmim, which he introduced later on. Shita from Midas HaRachmim, which is represented by the Shem Havaya. But of course, Lasa Lava, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to return to the way he initially had intended that it should be created, which is functioning only with Midas Hadin. So now, as we exist currently, we have to have a Midas HaRachman. It's the only way the world is able to function. And therefore, in this world, as we exist now, we pass on like Beis Hillel. But Lasa Lava, in the times of Mashiach, we're going to return to the kind of philosophy of Midas Hadin, which is represented by Beis Shammai. And that's why, Lasa Lavoi, the Talmidim of the Ariel Kodesh explained, we're going to go back and paskin like Beis Shammai, which focuses more on the Midas Hadin, on the Sur Meirah. But surely, both of them are essential to our Avodas Hashem. We need both the Aseh Tov, as well as the Sur Meirah. If a person only focuses on the Aseh Tov, that he's only interested in introducing positive influences and that which inspires him and makes him feel good and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's an exercise in self-indulgence. Without any self-control, without any kind of limits or restrictions, he's not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's serving himself. At the same time, if all we focus on is the Sur Meira, on the limits, the restrictions, the obligations, so then we kind of, it's dry and stale and lacking in the vitality that's necessary to make religious life engaging and productive. And therefore, we need the healthy equilibrium between the Sur Meira as well as the Asei Tov, the partnership between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, in order to be Ma'alim HaKadosh Ve'im HaRidin in all aspects of religious life. But perhaps Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel don't only, right, of course, now our Avodah, a lot of times it's helpful to emphasize the Asei Tov. Sometimes, an emphasis on Asei Tov will lead one to also a Sur Meira, and that's why perhaps, today we emphasize Beis Hillel, even if Lasa Lavoi, times of Mashiach, we might emphasize Beis Shammai. But perhaps Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are not only disagreeing about how best to strategize, achieving this equilibrium. Is it by focusing on the Asei Tov or by focusing on the Sur Meira, Lumaisa? Perhaps they're also talking about how best to spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to others, which is clearly an emphasis, an aspiration, a theme of Chanukah as well, where we're attempting to be mefarsim the nes to the larger Jewish people. And perhaps there also, they disagree about how best to spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a teaching from Rabbi Nosson of Breslov in the Likutei Halachos, which talks about that perhaps Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have two different philosophies in this regard, but just to adapt it, it's not exactly what he says, but perhaps this is along the lines of that which he is driving at. Because he explains that Beis Hillel's philosophy and how to spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to others is by Ma'alim HaKadosh, is by lifting other people up, showing them the Kedusha that they have inside of them, and revealing that spark, that unique contribution that they can make, that's a divine spark that's within them. And when you recognize that divine spark, you're able to lift them up, you're able to bring them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chanukah has that ability, perhaps uniquely so, more so than, sometimes other mitzvahs and aspects of Yiddishkeit, to connect with people and help to lift them up and recognize their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos that even those oils and wicks that we don't use for Shabbos, they're disqualified for Shabbos, are acceptable for Chanukah. All the oils, all the wicks are acceptable for Chanukah. And the Chiddush Arim explains that the oil and the wick together with the flame are Rosh Tevis, ner, shemen, psila. Nefesh is a Rosh Tevis, ner, psila, shemen. Those are the three parts of a candle. Because the candle represents ner Hashem, nishmas adam, it represents a human being. And even those oils and wicks, which are disqualified from Shabbos, meaning even those people who are not turned on by Shabbos, and Shabbos is a very powerful tool in the, in the toolbox, in the arsenal of Kiruv, so many people's lives have been changed by one Shabbos meal. They come closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, turn their whole lives around. However successful Shabbos is, Chanukah is even more powerful. There are more Jews that relate to Chanukah than any other, day on the Jewish calendar, even than Shabbos. So many Jews are turned on by Chanukah. Now, it could be because Chanukah is relatively easy in terms of its obligations. You buy presents, light a Chanukah menorah, perhaps eat latkes and donuts. But perhaps it's because of also what Chanukah represents. Chanukah, is able to ignite even the little spark that's inside of a Jew who is otherwise distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are so many Jews that tap into the light of Chanukah and are excited by Chanukah. That's why Chanukah is kind of the last chance, even for Jews who are distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Throughout the Yemei Hadin, we always talk about, this is the last time that you have an opportunity to do tshuva, and then yet we keep, saying, well, there's really another time, right? At the end of Chodesh Elul, now's the time, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. But then we say, Yom HaKippurim is when there's the chasimah, when everything is sealed, and then even after it's sealed, the kvittel is not submitted until Hoshana Rabbah. So we keep kind of kicking the can and giving extra time for people who haven't done tshuva yet. So there might even be a really last day for people to do tshuva, and that's on V'zayis Chanukah. That's on the last day of Chanukah. And the Yikutei Ma'aril, who's from the Talmidim of, of the Naim of the Melech, you find the same thing in B'nai Yisoschar. So they write that the last day for tshuva, even for those who are distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is on V'zayis Chanukah. And they say that's the pshat. The Pasuk says in Sefer Hosea, which we talk about during Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Shabbos Tshuva, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Aleikecha. Klaisot the tshuva until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ad, is a gematria of 74, because there's 74 days from Yom Kippur until Zayis Chanukah. Even those Jews who didn't do tshuva by Yom Kippur, where the kvittel was submitted and, was written and submitted on Hoshana Rabbah, they have until Zayis Chanukah to do tshuva. Shuva Yisrael, ad Hashem Aleikecha. They have another 74 days for those Jews who are far away and only ignited by Chanukah. Rav Moshe Wolfson, in his Sefer, Emunas Itecha, has a brilliant observation. He notes that there are three parshas that we learn throughout the time of the Yom Nevi'im. Parshas Nitzavim, Vayelech, and Hazinu. In Parshas Nitzavim, there's 40 psukim. In Parshas Vayelech, 30. And in Parshas Hazinu, 52. So he says those three parshas correspond to the three tkufas, the three periods of tshuva that we have during the Yom Nevi'im. The tshuva process begins in Rosh Chodesh Elul, and there's some who do tshuva by Rosh Hashanah. That's 30 days. That's Parshas Vayelech. There's some, though, who start tshuva on Rosh Chodesh Elul, but it takes them a little bit longer. They only finish the tshuva process on Yom Kippur. That's 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur. That's Parshas Nitzavim. There's some who wait all the way until Hoshana Rabbah. They start Rosh Chodesh Elul, but some who wait all the way until Hoshana Rabbah. That's 52 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's Parshas Hazinu. That's Parshas Hazinu. His son-in-law, the Stuchina Rebbe, his Kuntras on Chanukah, adds, well, if you put all three together, the 40 with the 30, with the 52, that's 122. So that's 122 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul. When the tshuva process begins, will take you till Zeis Chanukah. There's some Jews who wait. They're not even Rosh Hashanah Jews. They're not Yom Kippur Jews. They're not Hoshanah Rabbah Jews. They're Zeis Chanukah Jews. They start the tshuva process Rosh Chodesh Elul, but it takes them all the way till Zeis Chanukah. But they're turned on, if not by the Yom Nevi'im, at least by Chanukah. Chanukah ignites them. And that's because the way that we can spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to others is by showing them that even if all you have is one spark, even if all you have is that one little interest in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that connection, you're holding on by a thread of Chanukah, that spark can ultimately become a much bigger flame and ultimately something that brings the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into a person's life. And that's the philosophy of Beis Hillel. The way you turn people on to Yiddishkeit, the way you spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to others, is by showing how each person is a unique candle, a unique spark, and therefore their opinion is a Maglim B'Kodesh Ve'im Meridin. How do you lift up Jews, bring them closer to Yiddishkeit, is by, you know, igniting them and showing them how, you know, their unique contribution, and that's by adding an additional candle to the menorah throughout the days of Chanukah. So every night we add an additional candle to show how we've spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We hope to spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to other Jews and ignite them and show how they're unique, how they're special. They are a separate candle on the menorah. Beis Shammai has a different perspective in terms of how to spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to others. It's not through lighting additional candles. It's through peeling away the externalities that separate us, that seem to define us, to recognize that at our core, what's inside of all of us, is that Chelak Elokam Imal Mamish, that part of us that's connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's similar to other Jews, such that at the end of Chanukah, we're left that one candle that's burning inside of all of us that's ultimately the same. In the Ksavim, in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh Shaar, Kavanis explains that when a person lights the Neiros of Chanukah, so you're supposed to have in mind six Shemus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Three pairings. The Shem Ehyeh, we found in Parshas Vayera, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced himself to Klal Yisrael, and it's Mitzrayim, Ekiyah, Asher Ekiyah. So here, the Shem Ehyeh, together with the Shem Havaya, the Shem Elikim, together with the Shem Havaya, and the Shem Adnos, together with the Shem Havaya. Why these six Shemas add up together, these two, you know, the three pairings, Ehya with Havaya, Elikim with Havaya, and the Shem Adnos with Havaya, adds up to Gematria, 250 Gematria Ner. So represented in the Ner, you're supposed to have in mind these six Shemas. What do these six Shemas represent? So many explain, Rabbi Wolfson has them it's quoted in the Sefer Mima Makim, the Kedusha Slavi is a very similar thing in his comments on Chanukah, and explaining the Kavanah of what the Ari HaKadosh meant to communicate. And that is that these three Shemus, Shem Ekiyah, the Shem Elikim, and the Shem Adnos, represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we find him throughout three stages of the creation of the world. The Shem Ekiyah is, you know, in the future tense, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be. That represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu before he created the world. The Shem Elikim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Baal HaKadosh Kulam, as an Nefesh HaChaim writes at the beginning of Shara Aleph. It represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of all forces as we see them in the world, both those of Teva as well as those that are Olam and Teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baal HaKadosh Kulam. The Shem Adnos represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the world will reach its culmination, you know, its fruition, the plan will come to realization. So then, that's the Shem Adnos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, will be clearly and universally recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master over the entire world. So the Shem Ekiyah is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Shem Elikim is as, you know, the world is in its state of existence as we know it now. And the Shem Adnos of what will be La'asid Lava. And those are all three, each one, which seems to be different identities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all connected, all contained within the Shem Havaya. That's why each one is paired with the Shem Havaya. The Shem Ekiyah with the Shem Havaya. The Shem Elikim with the Shem Havaya. The Shem Adnos with the Shem Havaya. Because they're all included in the Shem Havaya, as the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Hey. The Shem Havaya is Hoya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, Hoiva, he is, and Yihiyah, he will be. Hashem Molach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch, the Adam Void are all connected with the Shem Havaya. And therefore we pair all three with the Shem Havaya to recognize that these are all one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is embedded in everything, both within the Teva as well as in that, you know, that which is Lamalam and Ateva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, you know, in every part of our existence. And that's what you're supposed to have in mind when you light the Ner Chanukah. If you have that in mind, you're able to tap into that hidden light that was hidden away from the first days of creation. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Chagiga that, of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu created light on the first day of creation. As the Pasuk says, Vayihi Or, Kadosh Baruch Hu created light. However, the problem is that the moon and the sun, the sources of light, were not created until the fourth day of creation. So where did this light come from that existed before the creation of the moon and the sun? So the Gemara explains in Chagiga that there was an original light, the Or Ein Sof, the light of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is represented by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was recognized and obvious to everyone. However, the problem is the world couldn't exist with that kind of clarity. People wouldn't be able to have bechira and things. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid away that light on the fourth day of creation when he created the moon and the sun. And that's what provided light, you know, from that point onward. What happened to that original light? That was hidden away. It's called the Or HaGonos, that hidden light, that clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout everything that he created, that was hidden away on the fourth day of creation. Who was it for? Why was it hidden away? That's hidden away for the tzaddikim losalava. It'll be given to the tzaddikim. How many hours did that light exist? Well, even on the first day of creation, there was night and day. There was light and there was darkness. So how long did that light exist? Probably 12 hours. 12 hours of the day, 12 hours of the night. So throughout the first 3 days of creation, there were 12 hours of daylight or light. Each one of those days, that's 12 hours, 12 hours, 12 hours, is 36 hours. So writes the Bnei Yisachar in his comments on Hanukkah that there were 36 hours of this Or HaGonos. Where is it found? It's found in the 36 tzaddikim that exist in every generation, the Lama Vav tzaddikim. And it can also be hidden, was hidden within the 36 Masechtas of Shas that corresponds to those 36 hours. And one can tap into it with the proper perspective in the 36 candles that we light throughout the days of Hanukkah. You can tap into that Or HaGonos, that hidden light. In the first 3 days of creation is embedded, is, you know, hidden, is, you know, that illumination is can be released throughout the 36 candles that we light on Hanukkah. Why? Because our perspective, what we're supposed to be having in mind as we light the Hanukkah candles, is Haya Hayvaviya, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is present, you know, before the world, and everything that is in creation will be present, you know, when the world ultimately reaches, you know, its culmination with the fulfillment of the plan of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is present everywhere. And that's what Beis Shammai, you know, encourages us to have in mind, is that light of the Or HaGonos. And that's how we should spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the days of Hanukkah. It's not by showing how everyone is unique, how everyone has a unique contribution that only they can make, how they're a nitzitz, you know, which is distinct from everybody else, but rather by stripping away, by peeling away one day after the next day. That it seems like it's eight candles at the beginning, but in fact, it's really only seven, six, five, and then we reach the culmination of the days of Hanukkah, and we realize, no, there's only one candle. There's one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Chelek Elokami Mal, that's present in every Jew. That really, there's something common that unites all of us, and that's we're all connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a part of divinity that's inside of all of us, which is connected with each other. So Beis Shammai believes you spread the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not by emphasizing the uniqueness of every individual, but recognize that which we have in common, and that we're all connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a divine spark that's inside of all of us, which ultimately is really connected. And in that sense, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel really come together. They're really two different sides of what Achdus is there to achieve. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Brachos, that if a person sees a great population of Jews together, 600,000 Jews together, he's supposed to make the bracha, Baruch Chacham Harazim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows the secrets. Baruch Chacham Harazim. He's wise to all the secrets. Why? Why do you make a bracha if you see so many Jews? Baruch Chacham Harazim. Because Mar explains that because in all Jews, just like Jews have different faces, they all also have Kishem Shapatzu Fehem, Einam, Doimim Zelazer, Kach Datoiseim. So too, their opinions are not the same, right? As everyone knows, every Jew certainly has one opinion. Some Jews even have multiple opinions. Two Jews, three opinions. Jews have lots of opinions. No one agrees with each other. And it has to be that way. That's a demonstration of the divine spark that's inside of each one of us. Just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yachid U'miyuchad, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is unique, so too, every Jew, by virtue of the fact that he's a chelek alakam imal, that there's some tzelem alakim that's inside of each one of us, so each person strives and is, you know, strives to be unique and have their own unique identity. We crave that, you know, that uniqueness, but that's also, you know, something that's inherent to each one of us. Each one of us has a unique kayach, a unique identity, a unique contribution that only we can make, and therefore a unique opinion. Kadosh Baruch Hu is v'niskav Hashem levado. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, reigns alone until to Klal Yisrael is created. By Yivasa Yaakov Levada, Yaakov Avinu was by himself and we're all part of the Am, Levada Yishka, in that nation that dwells alone. So we're unique, we're different from each other. Each one of us is somewhat a unique candle, which is emphasized by Beis Hillel. And our job in spreading the light of Torah is to help people recognize their unique contribution, their unique spark, their unique light. At the same time, all those eight branches of the menorah are all part of one miksha achas. The menorah had to be made out of one solid piece of gold. That's what befuddled Moshe Rabbeinu. How is he supposed to create, hammer out this piece, the menorah, out of one solid piece of gold? But the answer is, the reason why all of these candles are part of one solid piece of gold is because we all have to recognize that it's our uniqueness. The reason why each one of us doesn't, you know, has our own opinion on identity is because we're all created in the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So our uniqueness is in fact what brings the commonality, is the common denominator that we all have, which represents how together we are, how similar we are, how alike we are. We're all alike because we're all different. The fact that we're all different is exactly the reason why we're all alike, and that's what's emphasized by Beis Shammai. That's the light of the Or HaGonos, to recognize that inside of all, behind all of our unique opinions, all the unique candles, that the lights of each part of the community of Klal Yisrael is really one light, which is that Or HaGonos, the Chelek Elokami Mal, that one candle that remains at the end of Hanukkah for Beis Shammai, that represents the light of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Or HaGonos, the hidden light, the light of the Mashiach, that represents the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is inside of all of us. And I think at different kufas, we emphasize different parts, or different aspects, you know, of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. There are times when the theme of Achdus, of spreading the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is rooted in seeing the beauty of every part of the community of Klal Yisrael, and the beauty of the Sfaradim, of the Ashkenazim, the Chassidim, the Litvish, and every different demographic within Klal Yisrael, seeing what they contribute, what their unique light and their unique candle is among the landscape of the larger Jewish people. But then also, you know, there's also, and I think that this is a kind of the achdus we're experiencing today, is recognizing a little bit the Or HaGonos, the light of the Mashiach, which comes to emphasize the fact that no, the fact that each one has somewhat of a unique contribution, each one has a unique candle, unique light, also speaks to the fact that there's really a similar light, a common light, which is, you know, fueling all of these lights. And that is the fact that we're all created in the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we all have a Chelek Eloka Mimal Mamish. So what the Achdus, the Gairim of Achdus today, and I think that's what a lot of the spirit of the Ruach of Achdus that we're experiencing today in Tavshin Pei Dawid, is the light of Beis Shammai, is recognizing not only the beauty of every sector of Klal Yisrael, but the fact that we're all Am Yisrael, we're all Klal Yisrael. There's something that's common amongst us all, that one candle at the end of Hanukkah that remains for Beis Shammai, that's the candle, the light of the Or HaGonos, that light of the Ribbono Shel Olam that exists within all of us. So it's because of our unique identity that we all recognize that there is something that binds us all together that is the same, that is the commonality that unites, the common thread that unites all of Klal Yisrael. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be zeicha as we celebrate Chanukah to allow each, you know, to be able, each person to shine in their own unique way, but also to use that as a vehicle to recognize that there is a light that shines within all of us, which ultimately stems from the same source, from the same base, which is the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be zeicha to see the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread throughout the world, misayfa olam v'hatsayfa, from one end of the world to the other, with the coming of Mashiach, Zikeinu, b'mehir v'yomeinu, amen.